Well, praise God, if you want to turn in your Bible tonight, we'll start in two openings, one in Acts, the 9th chapter, and the next opening in Acts, the 11th chapter. Again, my name is Brad Holloman, for those that may not know who I am, and my wife, Selena, and I, with our family and crew here, have been so blessed to be a part of this church since our relocation from Vancouver, British Columbia, back home for me to Birmingham, so we thank you for being part of our church family, and so grateful to get to know all of you more and more over the coming weeks and months, and so grateful for a pastor who is so open to letting the gifts of God operate in each person. Amen. Just so blessed to have such good pastoral leadership. It's so marvelous to see. You know, it's so marvelous to be a part of, and we have something very, very special and unique here in our church. And so tonight, I'm just going to be teaching and sharing and continuing along the lines of what Pastor Mark has set for Wednesday nights about listening and hearing the voice of God. And what I want to talk about tonight is that, you know, as we're developing a listening ear and as we're tuning our hearts in to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, we're developing that gifting, if you will, or that natural ability that God has given us. I think, again, I had shared some Wednesday nights ago that as born-again children of God, it's our natural ability to hear from God. Jesus said that those who are of me, they hear my words. He later says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of another they shall not follow. So it is very easy to hear from God. It's not a complicated thing. Aren't you glad about that? But we listen to the voice of God, and we are listening for the voice of God on purpose and for a purpose. That's why we're tuning in. We're tuning in and listening so that He will give us the purpose and guidance for our life. Here in Acts, the 9th chapter, we see the story of the conversion of Paul the Apostle. And many of you may know that story. If you remember, he was not called Paul at that time. He was called Saul of Tarsus. And he was a Pharisee of a Pharisee, according to his own words. He had been given letters of authority from the church in Jerusalem to arrest as many Christians as he could find and put them in prison and have them thrown to the lions and all that kind of stuff. And it says that he was headed to Damascus in Syria. You know, everything seems to be keying around Damascus, you know, but he was headed to Damascus in Syria. And it says that on the way there, that a light shone around him and he heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And it says in verse 5, Paul then asks a question. He's been knocked off his donkey and onto the ground. And he says, who are you, Lord? A question of identity. First question that Saul had was, Lord, who are you? It goes on to say that I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks or against the goads. Now, to stop here real quick, it's interesting to see. You might know what a goad is. Is that what it says, though, the pricks? You might, in King James Version, it says a goad. You might know what a goad is. It's a sharp, pointy stick. It's what the shepherds that herded goats would use. You know, sheep can be led, but goats have to be driven. And so those that would herd goats would sharpen a stick, and it would be pointy on the end, and they would give a little bit of motivation on the backside of the goat to move it along in the right direction. And that's the words Jesus used here. He says, Paul, for some time you've been kicking against the pricks, the goads. I really think that what that is, remember, Paul had studied, he knew the scriptures. And so I really think as a contemporary in Jesus' time, he was studying under Gamaliel and he was looking at the Old Testament scriptures and seeing Jesus. And every time he would see that, the little prick would come in his conscience. Hey, this is him. This is the Messiah. This is the one. And he would just kind of kick against it. No, that can't be true. No, that can't be right. And he'd kick against the prick. And every time Jesus would do something, he'd hear about it. And there's that little prick again. And Jesus said, you know, you've been kicking against the pricks for a long time. Isn't it interesting that here's a man that's hearing from God even before he had known God? See, I take great comfort in that understanding that, you know, God loves to talk to us. Now, come on, y'all need to say amen.
Amen.
He loves to talk to you. And he loves to communicate to you. You know, God is just a chatterbox. And he just wants to communicate and talk and minister in your life. Amen. And I just love the fact that, you know, if he has to poke you with a stick, or if he has to show up and knock you off your donkey, God will just, he'll turn up the, you know, that was one of the great things, again, one of our mentors, Brother Ed Elliott, taught us. He said, trust in the Lord so much that if even if he has to turn up the volume, he'll turn up the volume. God is not playing hide and seek with his will for your life. He's not sitting there going, you know, whispering and going, shh, 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 and you go, what was that, Lord? He goes, no, I only said it once. You got to figure it out. See, God didn't operate that way. Man, God will be, he'll be leading you. He'll be talking to you from Scripture. He'll be moving with you in the Spirit. He'll show up. I mean, he'll send people into your life. God just wants to talk to you. So just talk to him and listen, amen. But notice the next thing it says, that the moment Saul understood who he was talking to, it said, so in verse 6, it said, so trembling and astonished, he says, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's always stood out to me as an interesting second question in the life of a brand new convert like Saul. Because see, Saul understood that the moment someone has an encounter with God, God gives them something to do. He gives them a purpose. He gives them a job. We were saved on purpose, and we were saved for a purpose. So we're listening on purpose, and we're listening for the purpose. Go to Acts chapter 11. We'll see this again. And the man by the name of Barnabas. It says around in verse 19, it says, now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he had came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Now notice this, here again, the word, the gospel has gone into a new area. Some non-Jewish people have come to faith in Christ. They have received grace, it says. So when the church in Jerusalem hears it, they dispatch Barnabas to go make sure that what they have received is the grace of God, to make sure it was real and genuine and true. And when Barnabas goes, he sees that it was. And notice what, Barnabas here, he's got brand new people, brand new ethnic group, brand new culture who's received the grace of God. He has an opportunity to speak into their life. And what's the first thing he tells them to do? He said, serve with purpose. It's interesting, that word purpose here in verse 23 means an advanced, deliberate plan. So we could read it like that. So Barnabas encourages them with this. He says, so with an advanced, deliberate plan of your heart, continue serving the Lord. An advanced, deliberate plan with purpose of heart. Do you understand that serving the Lord requires purpose of heart? Serving Him with purpose of heart. And that we see in twice in this, that is the encouragement as we come to faith in Christ, we are seeking God and His purpose for us. So now the proverbial questions start to pop into our mind, don't they? Well, how in the world do I know if that's what God wants me to do? How many of you had that next thought? Come on, be honest. Come on. I got three honest people in the whole church. Okay, we're going to pray for liars right now. No, I'm just teasing. Well, we all do. You know, normally as a pastor, that was, you know, kind of as you move and you help people in their life, once you can kind of help people establish in their hearts how much God loves them, that He's cared for them, He's forgiven them of their sins, He's taking care of them physically, they don't have to worry about these things in life, instantly people pop into this understanding, well, is that God or is it pizza? How do I know if what I want to do How do I know if that's God? Have you ever thought about that? Go to Psalms 37. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Is as we're listening, how can we have a gauge, if you will, or an understanding of what God is asking us to do? And how do I understand and know, is this God? Is this just me? Again, is this the pizza? What is this? Because again, I just want to help people understand, you can know the voice of God, and it's very easy. It's not hard. It's not complicated. And God's not on some, spiritual Easter egg hunt with your life. Hey, aren't you glad about that?
Yep.
Psalms chapter 37. Are you there? We're going to start in verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. We begin all things with God with just this verse right here. Trust in the Lord. Rely on him. I believe the Amplified Bible says rely on him. Lean on him. Put your whole confidence in him. Trust in the Lord. And then do good. You know, it's easy to just do good and that's okay. You know, Paul, I forgot where it is in the New Testament, but Paul says things like this. He says, whenever you're able to do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The Apostle John says it like this, and I believe it's 1 John chapter 3, around verse 16. He says, hey, if you see a person in need, and you have the wherewithal or the ability to meet the need, I mean, he could then go meet the need. Just do good. Aren't you glad you just don't have to pray about everything? Isn't that awesome? You know, Brother Hagin used to teach us like this as young ministers. He used to say things like this. You know, if you're a young minister and you've been called to preach, and a church calls you up and says, hey, Brad, would you like to preach on XYZ night? And you look at your calendar, and that night's open. What is your answer?
Yes.
Yes. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. Why? I've been called to preach. I have an open evening. I have an open invitation. Let's go do good. Praise God. You know, do I have to pray about going on that short-term missions trip? No. Amen. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Praise God. Aren't you? Just do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Look around in your life. Is there something good you can do? Well, go do that. God will be real happy with that. Now, y'all looking at me kind of strange. Y'all all right?
Yes.
Amen. It says, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. You know, live where you are. You know, the proverbial phrase of bloom where you're planted. Where's your land right now? Your neighborhood, your job, your home, your school. Where's your land? Dwell there. Be a part. Live in that place. And feed on the faithfulness of God. Trust him. And looking for those things to do good. And just let him just supply and do. It's just amazing the great things that'll open up. Now look here in verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Look at that first word. And if you're taking notes here, you can circle some words. In verse 3, you can circle the word trust. Here in verse 4, circle the word delight. Delight in the Lord. That word means to just be happy. You know, we as a family, we do a fun thing now. We found that. How many of you like that Pharrell Williams song? You know, the happy song? And I'm happy, da, 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 da. Like a room without a roof. Anybody like the song? Have you seen the Despicable Me version? It's cute. I like that. The little minions running around. It's awesome. You get YouTube. Anyway, but it's this, be happy. Delight in God. Do you know that that's the only requirement right there? How do I trust my heart? Ask yourself this question. Do you delight in God? Because it says here, if you'll delight in the Lord, what happens? He gives you the desires of your heart. If you can answer yes to the question of, is Jehovah your delight? Then you can trust the desire of your heart. You know, when I was a young man, again, I grew up here in Alabama. It's my first real time to preach in Alabama. It's kind of cool. I preached all over the world. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. I'm glad that in this kind of a setting. This was pretty cool. But, you know, I grew up here, and I was born and raised here, went to church with my family my whole life. But, you know, at 19, we were at Cathedral of the Cross. Many of you remember that church over in Center Point with Pastor Mark Carell that was there. And it was a Sunday night. I forgot what time of year it was, but I just remember it was one of the Sunday night services. I was a young man, probably 19 or so years old. I just kind of in the middle of doing some biology stuff. You know, my heart's desire was to either be a marine biologist or a videographer for National Geographic. That's kind of what I wanted to do. And so I was going to Jeff State, taking initial classes, going to move in that direction. But, you know, on that night, God finally became my delight. I didn't know how to explain it like that back then. But, you know, again, I grew up. I was kind of saved at the age of 6, 7 and grew up in the church. But at 19, it kind of all clicked. That reality of grace dawned in my heart. And I really kind of say that's really kind of when I got saved. Not saying that if I'd have died before that, I'd gone to hell. You know what I'm saying? But like, it just all kind of made sense, and the penny dropped, everything clicked in place, and I went down front at an altar. I just remember being there with God, and for that first real time, kind of saying, okay, God, this is it. You're my God. You're my delight. And I remember getting up out of that altar that night and having the entire desires of my life change. There wasn't no more desire for biology in me. There was no more desire for the videographer thing. There was none of that left on the end. I got up that night and just wanted to minister and serve God. And it was at that point that God started my life down the path that we're living now. But I say that as an example of, that's just all it took, was just making God my delight. And God did what I call a desire transplant in my heart. Amen. He gave me my desire. Isn't that awesome? You know, it's that easy. Is God your delight? Amen. Is He the delight of your heart? You know, does He make your heart dance and skip and sing? Is that God to you? Then you can trust the desire in your heart right now. Praise God. You can trust your heart because He's your delight. Amen. It says now, verse 5, so commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So if you're underlying that word, first word, commit. Roll, it says, the whole of your care upon Him, every load that you have. It means trust Him. Again, it's the action of trust. You're committing your way to Him. Commit that way. What do we mean by the way? You know, when you're committing the way, now you're going to walk this out. Lord, I'm going to commit my way to You. What the way is. Now, I have this desire in my heart. Have this thing You've placed in my life that You want me to do because You're my delight. You've given me this desire. So now I'm going to commit the way I walk that out to You. Now I want to look at something. If you go to John, the 20th chapter. John, the 20th chapter in verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came, walked through the wall, and stood in the midst of them and said, don't freak out. Peace be still. Peace be still to you. Don't freak out on us here. It's all right. You know, don't freak out when God walks into your life. Amen. Don't freak out at the size of the desire he's going to put on the inside of you. Praise God. Amen. When he had said this, Jesus showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also now send you." As the Father has sent me, I also now sent you. You know, you and I have been sent the same way Jesus had been sent. These are same words that God's saying to each and every one of us, his disciples. As the Father sent me, so now I send you. And this is how to do with that way. Trusting our way to him. The way things are going to work. So how did God send Jesus? Because if we're sent in the same way, then this is going to be a pattern of our way. Do you understand? Am I making that? So the same pavement, if you will, that paved Jesus' way is going to pave our way. How did God send Jesus? Then that's how he's going to send us into this desire. And this is, how we can gauge and know. Am I walking on the right track? Well, is God your delight? Yes. Then trust the desire of your heart. Then as you walk this out, it's going to show some of these things to be. John 10:10, if you're looking, just a couple of pages back. John 10:10, probably all very familiar with this verse. It says, "But the thief comes, but to steal, kill, and destroy." And Jesus says, "But I have come that I might bring life and life in abundance." Our way is a way of life. We are to bring life to what we're doing. Not just in what we're doing, but to what we're doing. We're bringing life to people. You're bringing God's life into other people's life. Your desire is going to be a pathway for God's life to flow in. So how are you going to bring life to people in your way? That's what you're committing your way to. Lord, I'm committing my way to bring life. How is this going to bring life to people? And I'm going to start walking that direction, building in that way. I'm bringing life in the way. You're there in John, go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 37, here's Jesus as he's standing before Pontius Pilate. Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Are you of the truth? Then you hear the voice of God. If you're of the truth, you hear his voice, but also you're here to bear witness to the truth. So part of what we're committing our way to is communicating the truth of Jesus Christ. How am I bringing truth in my way? How is this communicating truth to the world? How am I bearing witness to the truth? With my words, with my actions, with my attitudes, with my choices, am I bearing witness with the truth? Does that make sense? This is what we're committing. We're rolling our way onto this. We're casting every care into this. Lord, I'm here to bring life. Lord, I'm here to bear witness of the truth. Go to Luke chapter 19. Well, actually, back up. Go to Mark chapter 10 first. Then we'll go to Luke 19. Matthew chapter 10. Am I doing all right this evening? We're in Matthew chapter 10. Let me see there. I wrote that down wrong. Well, Well, I told you wrong on that one. It's the verse where Jesus says, I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom to many. It's not in Matthew 10. I wrote that reference down wrong, so you'll have to help me find it. All my Bible scholars can help me find that one. But you remember when Jesus said that? That the Son of Man did not come to be served. He says, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. 2028, thank you. Matthew 20, 28. I wrote that down wrong. Thank you, Derek. Isn't it awesome to go to church together? Aren't you glad you don't have to know everything? Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad you don't have to be right all the time? Oh, come on now. Amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to be perfect? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. Here is Matthew 20. I want to read the Matthew 20 and look at verse 27. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. How did you and I come? We've been sent to serve. Our way is a way of service, but it's a way of service for the ransom of many. I mean, again, we have to understand that we are so grateful that the gospel is free. Aren't you glad? Amen. That grace was free. But being a disciple will cost us the same thing it cost Jesus. It will cost us our life. Giving our living life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus died and gave his life as a ransom for many. We get to live and give our life through serving people and a ransom for many as well. My way is a way of service. I'm committing to a way of service. And you see this again. We're committing to a way of life. We're committing to a way of bearing witness to the truth. We're committing to a way to serve. How is what you're doing serving and giving and pouring out into the ransom of many? And not just on a salvation level, but to just be there for people. Hallelujah. To just give your life and serve people. And count on people. And have people count on you. That's a wonderful thing. Giving your life for others just to be there to help them. Aren't you glad? You know, people don't need you to die for them. They need you to live for them. People need you and I to live for them, to make the choices of our life be for their good, to be for their benefit. See, that's what we're committing our way to. Whatever that way is, whatever that desire God's put inside of you, you're going to find these things. It's going to be a way of life. It's going to be a way of truth. It's going to be a way of service. And then finally, in Luke chapter 19, in this one, Luke chapter 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. Speaking of Zacchaeus. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. We're here to seek and save that which was lost. You know, there's a story, and you can look at it. I believe it's still in the book of Luke, around the 15th chapter. Jesus tells us three stories of things that were lost. He talks about a sheep. He says there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and 99 came in, but one sheep was lost. And what did the shepherd do? He went out and he found the one that was lost, and he brought it in. You know, we're looking to save things that are lost by nature. Sheep get lost by nature. They just kind of wander off. So we're here to find things that just have this habit of wandering off. We're to go after those things. Then he tells the story of a housewife that had this necklace that was made up of these 10 golden coins. And each coin was worth a 1 year's salary. It was kind of like her dowry. And one of the coins popped off her necklace and rolled somewhere in the house. And it says that she tore the house up And she swept in every crevice and crack, and she looked until she found the coin that was lost, and then she called all her neighbors together and celebrated because her jewelry was able to be put back together. Yeah. So we're to look and save things that have been lost by neglect. Things that have been lost through neglect. And then finally it says there's a story of two brothers, two sons and one father. And the one son left and took his inheritance and squandered it and wound up in the pig pen and then came back home later. We call him the prodigal son. And we're look and save things that were lost by choice. See, we're to seek and save that which is lost. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of other people. How are we helping other people save those things that were lost either through nature, neglect, or choice? And to help them save those things, using our gifts, our talents, our desire to get involved in their life and help them save those things. Praise God. Do you see how this works? We're committing our way unto the Lord. Interesting, it says, now go back to Psalms 37, if you will, please. It says, commit your way. And as we've just been laying out, I just wanted to walk. That way is, you know, it's a way of life, a way of truth, a way of service, a way of seeking and saving that which is lost. But we do it knowing that He's going to bring it to pass. Our part is just to make that commitment. Lord, I'm going to commit in this desire to pursue your way, to bring these things into being. This is what I'm committing to. But I'm trusting that you're bringing it to pass. Praise God. He's going to bring it. And I love the confidence in this. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. God's going to do it. He's going to bring it to pass. Look at verse 7. It says, now rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings his wicked schemes to pass. It says in verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. Two things in here is, one, I want to look at this. This word fret that keeps popping up as I was looking at it and studying it this week, I didn't realize that the word meant not just the frustrated kind of fret, but it meant the angry kind of fret. Have you ever had anything get into your life? It was a frustration, but it just made you right mad. Or maybe they made you right mad. Anybody else? And that's what this is talking about. And I love that it's, you know, God says, hey, don't fret because of the one who prospers in his way. Don't get mad when it looks like it's working for other people. And especially don't get mad if it looks like it's working for other people that you think for whatever reason it shouldn't be working for them. Well, why is it working for them, whoever them happens to be? Because, Lord, if you only knew how they got what they have, then surely you'd be just as mad as I am. And here God says, no, no, no. Don't do that as you're walking this out. As you walk out and you walk and listen to the plan of God and you walk that out, you're going to bump into these kind of people. You know, the people who they're going to frustrate you in that anger. You know, there's that verse somewhere again in the New Testament where it says, be angry and sin not. And when you do some study on that verse and you look into the wordage in the original language in that verse, what Paul was telling the people is it was a promise. He was saying, there are going to come people and circumstances in your life that are going to anger you. So don't give in to sin by being angry at them. He wasn't saying you can still be angry and not sin. He was giving us a warning that matches this. He was telling you, this is going to happen. You're going to be walking this thing out. You're going to be walking the plan of God out. And you're going to bump into folk that are going to frustrate you to the point where you could be angry. He says, don't do it. Don't give in to that. Aren't you glad we don't have to? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't give in and don't be that, don't give in to that kind of fretful anger. He says it only causes harm. And his antidote to that is the first word. Again, if you're underlining these words, we said in verse 3, underline trust. In verse 4, underline delight. In verse 5, underline commit. And then in verse 7, underline rest. And he's walking out this pathway for us as we're listening to the voice. He says, trust me. Rely on me. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Your only thing you have to do is just delight in me. Let me be your source of happiness. Can I just stop and meddle here just for a minute? You know, again, you know, we're overly happy seeking in our culture sometimes. You know, again, in pastoring, we've seen so many people leave their spouse. And the thing is, well, wouldn't God want me to be happy? God just wants me to be happy. And that's true. God wants you to be happy. But he says it like this. He says, happy is the man whose God is the Lord. See, he's our source of happiness. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, trust in me. Let me be the source of happiness in your life. Delight in me. I will give you the desires of your heart. Just commit to walking my way out, my way of life, my way of truth, my way of service, my way of seeking and saving. Walk my way out and then just rest. Rest in God. Again, I can't help but talk about this. Have you ever wondered why God made Adam last? Have you thought about that? You know, God's making creation and he's doing all the different things on the 6 days of creation. On the last day he makes Adam. And again, he kind of follows what would become the Jewish model where he starts in the evening and he goes to the morning. So he's actually making Adam on this evening into the next time of the day on the seventh day. So God's making Adam. But see, Adam woke up in Sabbath. Adam woke up in a place of rest. That's why God made Adam last. Because again, you know, can you imagine if God made Adam earlier in the week? You know, there'd been a whole day he'd had to tread water. And there'd been another whole day he'd have been in the dark with plants popping up all around him. You know what I mean? There'd have been whole time. There would not have been things ready for him. But God waits and God creates, prepares, and gets ready and makes everything in full maturity and full fruitfulness and full perfection. And then he brings in Adam. And Adam's first day of life on this planet was called Sabbath. A day where he was at rest. The work was done. Everything was furnished. Trees were producing. He was walking with God. See, and that's what this is talking about here. Rest. Amen. Church family, we've been born again into that same rest. That's what the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he was talking about the rest of God. We have been born again into the rest of God. So the thing that desire is, whatever that dream, that thing that's on the inside of you churning, man, God's got everything ready for that. Everything needed for that to work is in place. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. It's there. It's ready. God has prepared it. It's just now time to walk it out. It's time to just rest. It says, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. letting Him walk you, grow you, develop you, bring you into this thing. But see, that's why we're learning how to listen to God. Brother Derek, can you get ready? Come play something, sir, please. If you want to stand up tonight. And so what I wanted to do as a practical side to this evening is to just, let's pray about this some more. Again, for some of you, maybe to look at this and to just allow God maybe for the first time to begin to talk to you. Again, I would ask you that question, you know, is God your delight? You know what I mean? And maybe you're here and you were like me at 19. You just need to make Him your delight. But I think many of us here, God is already our delight. And so I just want us to take the time to pray about that desire that's in your heart. To pray over it. To meditate on it. To listen to God about it. And to kind of take some time tonight as a church family and let's walk through some of this stuff. You know, trusting in God. Again, making sure He's your delight. You know, I just kept sensing as I was praying for you all that for many of you, you know what that is. You know what God has been talking to you about. You've heard and felt and known that desire. And now it's just to say, okay, God, I'm committing to that. I'm not going to just think that that's pizza. You're my delight. This is from You. So I'm just going to say, okay, God, here we go. And tonight I want you to pray about these ways. To pray, Lord, how can I take this tomorrow? How can this bring life? Who can I bring life to? Who can I bring truth to? Who can I serve? What's lost out there that I can engage and help save through Your Word, through Your Spirit, through these things we've been learning as a church family, things I can bring in place? Amen. And just rest and say, Lord, thank You. And celebrate that tonight. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Will you do that? So I'm just going to start praying. Amen. I just want you to pray. This is the time for you just to listen to God. Amen. Dream about these things and say, thank You, Lord. And begin to just meditate. What does that look like? Again, what would bringing life look like with this desire? Amen. What would truth look like here? What would service look? What would you do? What could you do tomorrow? Hallelujah. Lord, tonight we just come and we just have come to listen. I mean, maybe we've come to hear You again about this desire. Lord, tell me again. I know, like my kids do with me so many times about stories. Daddy, tell us this story again. Can You tell us about the time You did this or did this or that happened? Tell me one more. Lord, as our Heavenly Father, we ask You, Lord, tell me again. Tell me about that desire again. Amen. Tell me about that dream again. Lord, remind me of what You said. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember that. Thank You, Lord. Yes, sir. I remember that. Lord, I thank You for that. You said we would go to those places. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Praise Your name. Amen. Trust You, Father. I lean on You. Hallelujah. Lord, thank You. Yes, sir. I commit. Amen. Amen. Thank You, God. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for that. We're walking in the right way. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Praise Your name, God. Ho rabadadante me nananan shile me. Yo goron tenen enihi ki tenen e mamananan shi. Yo rabadahante me nihi le mananan shi. Ho goron tenen e mananan shi. Again, I encourage you, if you are able or have ever been baptized in the Spirit, you can speak in other tongues. This is a great opportunity to do that. You know, the Bible says that when we pray in an unknown language, we pray out mysteries. It's a tool God gives us to pray out these things in the future. It's like kind of like reaching into the future and laying paving stones. It's a tool. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean if you're here and you haven't had that experience yet that you don't have a future. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God gives us a great tool in this. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yo goron tenene mananan shebebe tenene hiki tenene. Hallelujah. Mananan she. Yo goron tenene hepe tenene hiki tenene. Mena nanje teme neme. Noho koran deneshi. Tenene hiki tenene mananange tenela. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, show us how to put shoe leather to that. Or what you're asking us to do next. Lord, show us what those practical things are that we can start doing this week, tomorrow, to walk these things out. Lord, thank you for reminding me, Lord, that you gave Paul there at his conversion when he asked what he should do. Lord, you gave him some specific things, just the next steps to do. Go into the city, go to this place, talk to this man. These things will happen. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you give us the next steps. Lord, so this is not just a pipe dream or something that's out there, but Lord, it's something we can actually begin to walk out and do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name. Hey, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, God. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we trust you. Bless your name. I'm just going to pray this prayer over you all. Where'd my Bible go? Colossians, on the fourth chapter. I mean, here Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. He says, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open a door to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And I just pray that over you right now as you're doing this. Lord, I pray for those that are here this evening, that are listening, those that are coming, for all of us, Lord, that you're opening doors for us in these areas. Hallelujah. You're opening doors for us to speak the mystery of Christ. Lord, that you're opening doors so that we can make the mystery of Christ, the good news of Christ, manifest through our speech as we ought to speak. Thank you, Lord God, for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray for those who maybe have thought that, I don't know, that maybe they thought the door was closed, or maybe they thought the time was too late, or I don't, there's just something inside of me stirring that God's just opening doors. He's opening doors for you. It's not too late. Amen. It's not too early. It's not too anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for open doors. Thank you, Lord, for open doors. Hallelujah. Open doors for these desires. Open doors for these ways that will be walked out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Well, just lift your hands, begin to thank Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for speaking to us always, Father. Thank you that we're your children. Lord, thank you that you've given us the ability to know your voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless your name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Bless your name. Bless your name. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. On earth, peace, goodwill towards men. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to stay up here for a few more minutes. You're dismissed after this. But if you just want prayer for any of this, I just sense again that there were people here tonight that if this was for you, and maybe you'd like just get into some prayer of agreement about any of this stuff. Just love to be here for you for a few more minutes. But I encourage you, as you begin to walk this out, take note of what God does and bring back the testimony and the good news back to the family of what God's doing and opening these things up in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you on Sunday. Amen.